From Southwest Airlines, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. You know, one of the best current online tributes to our veterans is Radney Foster's moving video, Angel Flight, which salutes the Air Force crews who bring home the remains of our fallen soldiers. It's on YouTube, and I highly recommend you watch it. So we asked two of our own veteran Air Force pilots, Vice President of Operations Captain Greg Crum, and Flight Operations Coordinator, Operations Control Center, former Captain Dave Bubba Edens, to talk about their own experiences. Dave describes his own Angel Flights during the Vietnam War and how our employees today handle the solemn occasion when a fallen hero returns home. Dave also talks about the incredible joy of flying a mission to Hanoi to bring home some of our prisoners of war, and shares a great story about a Canadian POW. So here it is.
David, how are you today?
Doing good, Greg. Thanks.
Well, Linda Rutherford asked us if we could comment on Radney Foster's song in which he pays homage to the C-130 Angel Flights, and we both know that the Angel Flights were those flights conducted bringing home the remains of our warriors who died in battle overseas. Now, I flew C-130s in the Air Force for 9 years, and although I never had the privilege to fly one of these missions, I know every time one of them came up, every pilot in the squadron volunteered for it. It was a privilege and honor, as I said. Now, in talking to you all and knowing you for as long as I've known you, you flew the C-141, which was a four-engine turbofan
T-tail
strategic airlifter.
That would be correct,
and,
sir.
And all those airplanes are in retirement now.
That's correct, sir.
But in their heyday, back in the 60s and the 70s, They flew many important missions during the Vietnam War and afterwards. One of them, obviously, that we saw in the 70s was the number of fallen warriors in their flag-draped coffins coming home. And it's my understanding you were honored and privileged to be able to fly one or more of those flights. And I think we'd all like to hear what it was like to fly one of those missions.
It was a real honor every time we got to do that. My squadron and the entire wing, we had three squadrons in our wing. Our entire tasking almost all the time was to fly westbound out of the West Coast. We'd go out to Hawaii, then we'd go to either Okinawa or the Philippines. Sometimes to Japan, but we'd end up ultimately almost every time in and out of Vietnam resupplying. And we would take oftentimes soldiers going out of either Hawaii or sometimes Okinawa or the Philippines, we would take them into Vietnam for their first missions over there and their first tour of duty. And they were nervous, as you could certainly picture, mostly young guys and girls. Then we would also take out a lot of our cargo, but there was fairly often that we would end up bringing military human remains back up on the airplane, and we would fly those back to the continental United States again. And they were flag-draped coffins, and they were escorted. They would have some military person that was assigned to those caskets just to make sure that they got back where they needed to get to. And it was very humbling and really pretty sad when you looked at sometimes up to 15 or 20 caskets that would be in the airplane that would all be flag draped, and we're taking them back to when they finally got to their final resting place. But we would take them back to the continental United States, and then they'd be disseminated from there back to their hometowns and their loved ones. It was always a very sad tasking, and you took it the way it was intended when we were assigned that. It was a job, but it was also a real honor to be able to take those people home.
David, were there any special procedures that you had to abide by during these flights as far as the care and keeping of the remains?
we really weren't tasked with any special procedures other than, we were not to put anything on top of the flag-draped coffins on top of the flag, and we had to be very careful not to do that. But I think just treating them with the respect that they were due and making sure that they were delivered safely to wherever their final destination was.
Well, when they were placed on the airplane and when they were taken off at their destination, what kind of honors were accorded them?
They normally, when they were loaded aboard the airplane, there was an honor guard that brought each one of the caskets onto the airplane, and then as they were, obviously the caskets had to be tied down just because of the protection from turbulence and that kind of stuff. So they all had to be tied down. But the honor guard would bring each casket on separately and salute, and then they would go back and get another casket. And that was just the order of business.
I know that you, as a representative from Flight Ops, have been thoroughly involved with our military human remains program.
Yes.
And could you comment a little bit about that to us?
Yeah, we, about maybe a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, Bud Stokes and I got involved in the military human remains that Southwest Airlines delivers. It's a contract that the military does with Southwest, and we determined that we needed to establish a protocol for each one of the military human remains that Southwest Airlines takes from point A to point B to wherever their final resting place is. And so we wrote out a protocol. Bud Stokes did a great job of doing that. We wrote out a protocol for the captains and the briefing for the captains, the briefings that the captain gives to the flying public, our customers, as they aborted the airplane, and then the military escorts and making sure that the flight attendants save a seat for them. And then the captain is really a babysitter for the military escorts. He goes down on the ramp and meets the escort, watches as the body is loaded onto the aircraft, and then he escorts the escort back up the stairs. Flight attendants have saved a seat for at least that one escort. Sometimes there's more than one. Sometimes there's family members that travel with the deceased. And we attempt to treat them with the reverence and the respect that they're due as fallen heroes. And then after the captain gives his PA in front of all the customers, then the captain goes in, they do their checklist, they fly the airplane to the next point, and ground operations has really done a great job of coordinating all these things. And if it's once we get there, usually there's an honor guard. It's interesting because there's even some motorcycle groups that are there that are Vietnam veterans, and they also help to escort the body once they get to the destination. And there is usually sometimes a fire truck out there that sprays water over a water arch. Police are out there to escort. TSA is out there. Oftentimes there's a myriad of Southwest people that are on the ramp just to observe people in the terminal that are standing up looking out the windows watching what's going on. And it's it is a beautiful, very sad ceremony as we go through that, but we attempt to treat each one of those military human remains with the respect and dignity that they're due as fallen heroes of our country.
Bubba, thanks for doing that. And I also, would you mind commenting on your missions into North Vietnam when we brought the POWs out in, what year was that, 73?
73.
73. I'd appreciate it if you would.
It was the highlight, if I guess we could call it that, was the highlight of my military career. I was in at Clark Air Base during Operation Homecoming and was selected to be able to fly one of the aircraft into Hanoi, pick up a group of POWs and bring them back out. And I wish I had the date better. I think it was in September of 73, but I can't tell you that for sure. We were able to fly in there. We had to shut down our aircraft, which is always kind of interesting when you do that, and you just hope it starts again. It's a very reliable aircraft, but it always makes you nervous. And then we had to go into what was called a base operations to file a flight plan to leave North Vietnam again. And then we escorted, each one of us were, had to escort one of the POWs from a ramp site over by where base operations was there at GLOM Airport. We escorted them across the ramp and then boarded them in the aircraft. And so we each one did the escorting. And there was a couple of very interesting sidelights to that. They were looking for one other POW that had supposed to have been released at the same time. All of a sudden, he came walking up with a different colored sweater from another side of the ramp, escorted by an American officer. And so he got up there, and that whole group of guys that were in the airplane started cheering. And this guy was a Canadian pilot that had been shot down, and he was such a royal pain to the North Vietnamese that they hauled him out of the prison and took him off, and they told all of our guys that they had shot him and killed him. And so they thought he was dead, but he was just kept in another prisoner of war camp on another side of Hanoi. And so when he came up, they were very happy to see him, and he got back on. The only thing he said was, boys, your lucky penny is back. And so that was about the only noise that we had until we got the engine started and the doors closed, and then all the POWs started to cheer. And then we started the airplanes and climbed out, heading back to Clark Air Base there in the Philippines. And so I went down into the cargo area where all those guys were being checked out by the doctors and nurses. And there was one of the pilots that had flown an O2, which was an aircraft that just did spotting for other bombers. And the O2 pilot said, "What's it like back at home?" And it was just so interesting to look at him. And I told him, I said, "You're really going to like miniskirts." And he laughed at that a little bit. And he looked at me and he said, "This is almost already like it was just a bad dream." But it was a great honor to have taken some of those guys. Some of them had been in prison for 7 or 8 years. And finally being repatriated back to the United States and their families. So it was, Operation Homecoming was an incredible event.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.